This here's the real McCoy. Pure, unadulterated Saurian brandy. Help yourself. Unless, of course, you're afraid.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I'm about to watch the final season of Battlestar Galactica. And I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and the Big Bang Theory was neither big nor a bang. Discuss. And I am an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Woohoo! Tonight is BSG.
BSG!
Dun 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 dun.
Battlestar. We love Battlestar. I can't continue. Yay, I watched the webisodes.
All of
them. Very exciting. Watched all of them. Yeah, Jim was like, let's just watch one. Okay, next one. Okay, next one. Oh, I can't stay up for all of them. And then we watched all of them. So,
Very cool. I don't have time to watch all of them right now. So I had Jim give me the
synopsis.
I was looking for
it's not the same as watching.
No, so. It's not. I know. I'll watch them.
But we'll discuss it at a later time.
Not today, because today we have a special interview with our friend Kenny, who is a listener of the Anomaly Podcast, and he just so happens to also be my co-host for the Ready Room Podcast, which, by the way, I hope you all enjoyed the audio drama that we put in the feed in Anomaly. It is also in the feed for the Ready Room, so.
And we are both featured?
Yes, you play Lieutenant Stass and Dr. Ryla Drett, and I do the narrator, the voice of the computer, and Commander Savril.
Oh, the voice of the computer, that's cool. Yeah. Awesome. All right. What is it that Kenny is going to talk to us about?
He is currently editing The Guild.
Cool.
And he also is an extra in The Guild. We'll have that interview coming up next. But before we do that, we would like to play some audio comments that a few of our listeners sent in and also some emails. Okay, so now we will be reading emails from our awesome listeners who sent in comments, and we always appreciate feedback. Thank you so much to everyone who sends us regular feedback, and for those of you who have taken some time and given us a rating on iTunes and on Podcast Alley, we always love hearing your thoughts on our show.
Yes, thank you.
Do you want to read yours first?
Yes. This is from Matt, and Matt says, hi. He wrote that. Just listen to the Celebrity Encounters podcast. That 1-0 drop was totally a reference to Tenacious D. I bet someone has already called you on that one, but you know, just letting you know that I know. I'm in the know. I'm going to Tombstone now. I bet there's nothing to do there. I like your show, Matt. Thank you very much for writing, Matt.
He deserves the Gamma Quadrant golf clap. Because no one has sent us a response to Angela's question.
And, well, it wasn't a question. It was just...
It was like, you said, whoever
can... Oh, I did.
Whoever can tell me where that came from, send me an email. And it's been how long?
I don't know.
It's been a long time. A
few months.
We'll play a clip. What did I say?
I win! 1-0!
Are you spiking the ball? That's unsportsmanlike conduct.
If anybody makes an email, tell me what that is referencing. I have nothing to give you, but I would be very excited if somebody knew what I just referenced.
1-0.
Anybody could have done that. It's one song.
Yeah, but guess who did write it? Me.
Yeah, but did you write this?
Dude, I did. I told you to do the bendy every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Woohoo! I win.
Shit.
I win. 1-0.
I think I was maybe still not had the baby. Had I had the baby yet? Was it after then or before then? I don't know.
We were on Skype, so you hadn't had the
okay,
baby
so
yet.
That was quite. That was that at least was 8 months ago. Yeah. So, come on. I know that
Good
you guys
job,
are
Matt.
Listening, so you just got to tell us what's going on.
Yeah, come on. Don't be afraid. We don't buy
But it. If you have negative things to say, just don't say anything at all.
Yeah. We don't get negative feedback. Thank God.
Luckily, we have not. So thank you very much. But yeah, Tenacious D, 1-0. I win. Woo. Okay.
Okay. My email that I'm going to read is from Sue. And Sue says, I have a degree in chaos theory, and I am an anomaly. Hello, ladies. I'm so glad that I found your podcast. I came by way of Treks and Sci-Fi, having just found Rico very recently as well. I can identify with most of all of what you talk about on the show. Sci-fi, theater, Ren Faires, gaming. I've known that I wasn't alone in any of my fandoms, but never expected to find others apparently share them as well. I've downloaded all of the past episodes that I could, and I've been trying to catch up while at work. I have to say that I haven't been watching much of BSG, but your podcast has me very interested. I guess I'll be adding some DVDs to the Netflix queue. Love the Galaxy Quest episode, and was pained by the Star Wars Christmas special. Woohoo!
Weren't we all?
Personally, I much prefer the Star Wars episode of The Muppet Show. I haven't seen that.
I haven't either.
I had to spend a weekend rewatching all of Firefly after I listened to your Out of Gas review, and just talking about Measure of a Man makes me cry.
Me too.
Okay, I'll stop there because I'm just rambling at this point. Thank you for the podcast. If there's anything I could do to contribute, I'd love to help out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Woohoo, an anomaly email.
An anomaly email.
She deserves the Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap as well.
Are we going to overuse this?
No. People who deserve it get the Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.
I'm cool.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
We are so happy that you emailed us. If there are any more anomalies out there listening, please go ahead and send us your feedback.
Please.
I mean, we appreciate email from everybody, but we just want to make sure that we're not alone in the universe as the anomalies that we are. We want to make sure that everyone knows that they can be a little bit different and
nerdy.
And nerdy.
And white.
And it's cool. You can be cool.
Be white and nerdy.
Yeah.
You can be anything and nerdy.
And we also got a audio comment from Eric, which we will play right now.
Okay.
Hello, podcasters. Just call in to say thanks. Your show actually helped ease the pain of my recent holiday traveling adventure. You know, all that good stuff like canceled flights and delayed flights and 8-hour airport layovers, all that good stuff. Anyway, y'all's podcast helped ease the pain. I actually listened to 3 of your shows during my layover, the holiday special one, the Star Wars interview/experiment, and the Buffy podcast, which was really awesome. Regarding the Buffy podcast, I really, really enjoyed your analysis of the Hush episode. You guys really ought to think about revisiting the series, maybe discuss favorite episodes or favorite moments or favorite story arcs, and maybe share why they're your favorites. And I've got a suggestion for one y'all to consider, the one with Warren and the evil geeks and the Death Star van and the death of Terra, the fall of Willow. And there were some really unexpected twists and turns in that episode and a lot of really effective emotional gut punches. In fact, I'm going to risk my Star Wars membership credibility and say that I think that Josh Whedon actually outdid George Lucas as far as depicting the fall of a hero with his depiction of Willow's fall to the dark side. Her little journey was a whole lot more believable than Anakin's was in Star Wars, and not to mention it was much more scary. Anyway, just want to say thanks for your great podcast. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And, one other thing. I was wondering what y'all's thoughts were in particular about that episode. What was it called? I think it's called Normal Again. It was from season 6, I think, where Buffy gets poisoned and she hallucinates that she's actually just a normal girl and the whole Slayer thing is just a dream. I kind of dug the episode. To me, it kind of raised the question, well, wait a minute, what if this whole series is just a fevered hallucination coming from the mind of a sick individual? Anyway, I was wondering what y'all thought about the episode, and just once again, keep up the great work. Really enjoy the show. All right, out.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you very much for that audio comment. And anyone who wants to send their feedback to us can record their comments and send them via email as MP3s or WAV files.
Yes.
Not a problem. I think all those comments are addressed to you because you're the Buffy guru in this
case. I am the Buffy geek in this situation. All of the things he's discussing could be an episode almost in and of themselves. Although the sixth season is not my personal favorite, it's one of those things that's interesting. Joss does a lot of defending of that season. But we all know, anybody who's in the know knows that Joss was actually working on Firefly during the sixth season of Buffy. And so there are very few of the episodes that he was personally involved with. Of course, he's personally involved with how the show goes, but I think that there is an obvious not Joss going on there, and I still love it, and it's still a good, you know, there's still a lot of good episodes in it. Still has Buffy in it, but I feel like of all the seasons of a completely A+ series, I give the sixth season kind of an A- or a B+. So, you know, it's still great. But and also he was talking about Willow. I would like to do an episode about Willow because I have some very interesting theories about where Joss might have plucked that storyline. I may be completely off, but I would really like to do an episode about that. So if anybody else has ideas and comments about the Willow transition, about Willow going evil, please send them in, because I think that pretty soon, maybe not the next episode we do, but in a couple months, maybe we'll do a Willow episode and talk about that. Maybe I'll get some of my other Buffy geeks in here and we'll have a good Willow-centered episode. So I'm excited to do that. So we'll try to answer all of your questions shortly.
Thank you very much, Eric, for sending your comments in.
Yes, thank you.
And I think that wraps up our email segment.
Yep, on to the interview. Yes.
Viper 7901 Galactica, you are cleared for approach. Speed 175 Port Bay, hands on approach, checkers green, call the ball.
Hello there, this is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast. You're listening to the Anomaly podcast with Jen and Angela, two geek girls who know what the word frack means.
Looking for more fan-made Star Wars audio productions? Then look no further than the home of Star Wars fan audio, StarWarsFanWorks.com. It's your source for audio dramas, audio parodies, online radio shows, and podcasts, plus the most comprehensive Star Wars fan audio news found anywhere. StarWarsFanWorks.com. Fandom has a whole new sound.
I'm recording the call just in case anything funny gets said in the interim.
What?
I said I'm recording it now just in case anything gets said that's hilarious.
Were you recording when I burped?
No.
That was awesome.
Oh. Today we have a special guest with us, Kenny from California, who is also a listener and a friend of mine and Angela's. And he's a co-host of The Ready Room with me. And he also was a guest host on Anomaly in the episode, The Anomaly of Ezri Dax. So welcome, Dan.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you guys invited me to be on again.
Kenny is working on a little project you all might know called The Guild. And it's a webisode online that you could watch, and it's hilarious. And it's about, it's kind of based on people who play WoW, is it not? Or, you know, MMOs?
It's MMOs. It's not really, they never say WoW because of legal reasons, but it's definitely an MMO WoW-ish type of game.
And it's funny.
Yes, it is. Well, you, of all people, Angela, would know if it's funny or not, since you play MMOs. But I think it's hilarious. I think it's a hilarious show, even if you don't know anything about MMOs.
Definitely, because I don't play MMOs. I would love to play. I know my personality, and I know if I start, I would never stop. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. I would say that too, but I still manage to do all the other things. You know, I don't have as high of a character as some of my
friends. Did that happen at the beginning, though? Or did you want
honestly,
to play all the time?
And my husband likes to tell me over and over again, I played KOTOR a lot more than I played WoW.
Okay.
Like, because I wanted to get to end so bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would play that for very long periods of time. I was more addicted to that than I am to WoW. Now, anybody who has played WoW before knows what I'm talking about when I say this, but like my husband and all of his friends, most of them are 77 to 80 right now. I have two characters that are 51 or a 52 and a 56. That's very, 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 very small amount of time compared to comparatively. Yeah. And we've been playing for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
So compared to the amount of time my husband spends on it, I really do not spend that much time because as y'all know, I mean, I direct plays and I work and I do all these things. So
have a baby.
I have the baby, and so it's like, I don't really schedule anything around WoW. I like to play it, but I don't know that I play it any more than I would play, because I played Civilization, Sims, KOTOR, several other games that it's like, I don't think I play it. The only thing that it cuts into is the time I'd be playing other games.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It doesn't really cut into the time that I'd be doing anything else, because I don't let it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, I know Felicia Day, she's the star of the guild. She's been trying to coax me into joining. She wants me to join their guild. So I've been considering it, so we'll see what happens.
I would play and just do what you want to do. You know what I mean? That was my biggest fear, and Jen and I have even talked about that, is the idea that the scariest thing about playing that rather than playing a game by yourself, like a regular, you know, just an RPG by yourself, is that it's the same style of gameplay, basically, except for you feel like that since other people are on, that you have to do something. Like, you have to stay an extra 30 minutes or an hour because your friend needs your help.
You
know, that kind of thing. And I think that's where I was afraid, too. But I guess I have a special situation since my husband plays that, you know, whenever I want to play, he usually, like, helps me, and I really don't feel, like, obligated, you know, to the other people.
Yeah.
And I think if get in a big enough guild, you know, as long as you are sensible about what you do, you know, you can get the help you need. You know, you do need to help other people. But I think that if you're sensible about it and you're really honest about it and say, hey, look, guys, you know, I have time for a 45-minute instance or whatever.
Yeah.
And then if you tell everybody up front, you know, this is what I have time for, then everybody's usually pretty cool about it, you know. The other thing is that I doubt that you will find people, and this is hilarious because we went to New Year's with our friends that all play WoW with us. And, I'm the only one with, like, a less than level 70 character. And no one will make fun of you for that. It would be very silly because they know that they're, in turn, making fun of themselves. You know what I mean? So
that does make sense. Yeah, the good thing about Felicia's guild is that it is low-key. They don't, you know, they're not hardcore, you know, because she's so busy, too. Yeah, they're definitely casual players, which is kind of nice. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll join. It's a rather large guild. I know they have, you know, because she announced her guild name online or at a BlizzCon somewhere.
Okay.
And I mean, I think they had said there's like 7,000 people now in her guild.
Gosh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a huge guild. I don't remember the platform or whatever.
Well, you're welcome to join our guild anytime.
You can't share characters within different guilds, right?
No, like no.
You have to recreate new ones.
Yeah, but the thing we did is what you can do is you can create channels that you chat on that can be anything. And so basically the channels were given to our guild and our sister guild. And so whenever you get on that channel.
Okay.
And then instead of just saying guild chat, you would have that channel.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking to both guilds. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And so that way then they can and then they get on event server and anybody can get on event together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then that way they're able to do instances and stuff and anybody can group up. I mean, you have five different guilds in one group.
Yeah.
You know, so that's lame that I know any of this. No, it's not.
It's scary as I understand what you're saying because I've hung around these people for the past 6 months. So
I pick up. It helps too if you just played for a little while, like to, you know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, so explain what the guild is.
Why don't you tell us a little about the guild and then, if you could, tell us about yourself and your career in the film industry and maybe how you got started.
Okay. The guild is a web series. It's about six gamers who do play an MMO, And it's about their lives online as well as offline.
Cool.
And, you know, it's funny because they're all unique and they're all different and they all have their little quirks, some more than others. And it's just interesting to interact. And like Jen said, you know, I wasn't a WoW fan when I came across the guild in season one. And I'm a geek, so I enjoyed that aspect of it because they're quirky and they remind, you know, I saw elements of them in me.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed it through that. So you don't necessarily need to be a WoW player or a gamer at all to actually enjoy it. It's just good, funny, yeah. You know, comedy. That's what it is. It's just about gaming. As for myself, I am a post-production supervisor right now for a television series called Deadliest Catch on the Discovery Channel.
Cool.
I've been post-supering probably 6 years now. I went to college, you know, did the whole college thing, have a Bachelor of Arts degree in communication with a television, film, and radio emphasis, and made my way up. You know, I started as a production assistant on the Dating Game, went over to the Newlywed Game, did a few other game shows. My career has basically been in reality TV, which is kind of nice because with all these strikes, reality TV doesn't get hurt by them.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
we have no actors, we have no writers, we have no, you know. So I've had steady work now since I left college. Yeah, so I'm a post-production supervisor now, which just means I run a post house. So right now I have 6 edit bays, 6 editors, 3 assistant editors, 7 loggers. And what we do is we build the show. You know, they go out and shoot it in production. They bring it to me. My team digitizes all the material, cuts it together into a cohesive story, and then we send it off to be up-resed and online, and then it gets put onto the air.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with the guild?
I actually found the guild through Rico and the Trucks and Sci-Fi forums. Mm-hmm. He posted a thread there and said, oh, check this out. It's pretty cool. And they were on, like, I think episode 5 at the time. And I watched all 5 episodes, and I totally fell in love with it. It was funny and witty, and the acting was cool, and it was, you know, just nice little 3-4 minute pieces. And I continued to watch the entire season, really enjoyed it. I bought it on DVD when it came out. And I noticed on the DVDs that, you know, there wasn't a huge amount of extras. And this is where they make their money, you know, because you don't sell it online. It premiered on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So they make no money. This is all out of their own pockets. Everyone volunteered to make this. So when they were selling DVDs, this is how they were hoping to make some money to pay off, to back pay people. And then a call went out for season 2 that they were going to start shooting season 2 and they wanted volunteers. So I emailed Kim Evie, who's a producer of the guild. She also does Gorgeous Tiny Chicken Machine Show. It's a very cute Japanese style talk show. It's very funny. You guys need to look it up. But I emailed her and I'm like, you know, I'm a post super. I would like to help out any way I can. I have a post facility. I was offering my post facility for them if they wanted to edit. I'm like, I have access to cameras, you know. I go, but what I really would like to do is I would like to produce some DVD extras for your DVD. Because I think, you know, you really want to sell your DVD and people can buy, you know, they can watch the show online for free.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they buy a DVD? Other than, you know, being like a devoted fan like I am, I'd buy it just for helping them out anyways.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, this would enhance your DVD to have these really cool behind-the-scenes type of DVD extras. And she passed it on to Felicia, and Felicia loved the idea. And next thing I know, they invited me to come out on day 1 of the shoot, and the rest is history. And I've been shooting – I shot every single day that they shot. It's funny because when you watch episodes of season 2, I know exactly where I was standing because I'm always in the room with them as they're doing their thing. So I'm always hidden behind a bed or a lamp or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always fun to watch and I can point out exactly where I was in each scene. So what my intention is I have over 50 to 60 hours of footage. I took over 2,000 pictures. And I'm going to produce probably 5 or 6 really cool behind-the-scenes pieces for their DVD.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm actually producing it, shooting it, and editing it. So I'm doing everything. They're getting me all in one bowl here.
And you also, yay, didn't you show up as an extra?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Episode. They emailed me probably like a week before we were going to shoot episode 3.
Uh-huh.
And Kimmy, you emailed me. And she's like, you know, oh, we were thinking, you know, we need this extra, we need this bum, and we thought of you. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's because I have a beard and it's scruffy looking. So I guess that's why they picked me. But I was chosen to be a bum on the streets in episode 3. And then they also, a few weeks later, they're like, well, I think it's going to be the next episode, episode 6. There's a scene where they needed another extra. And they're like, okay, can you do this? I can't say anything because I don't want to give away what it is. But they asked me if I can do an extra there. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then again, for I think the last two episodes, episodes 11 and 12, I'll be an extra in that. So I actually made it into 4 episodes, which is kind of funny since I hate being in front of the camera and I enjoy being behind the camera. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. It's a lot of fun. And you know, now that everyone keeps making fun of it, like, you know, where's Kenny? Find Kenny in an episode. So we're making a game out of it. But it was a lot of fun.
You say you're behind the camera a lot and doing a lot of editing. And now I understand from what you've told me that you have gotten permission to maybe do a podcast, a monthly podcast for the Guild.
Yes, I've been since Jen and I do the Ready Room podcast. That's like a highlight of my week is doing those podcasts with her because they're just so much fun. Mm-hmm. And I've been wanting to do my not necessarily my own podcast because I you guys know Rick Moyer. He and I talked about doing a podcast together, but we were trying to come up with a topic that no one else has done. You know, because there's so many podcasts out there and there's so many bad podcasts out there. but there's some really good ones too. But anybody could do a podcast. So I was like, okay, I'm trying to find my little niche. And I had the hardest time, and he and I just couldn't come up with anything, you know, that we would both enjoy. We could do weekly, you know. And I don't know, this is probably about a week and a half ago, it kind of just hit me. I'm like, why don't I do a Guild podcast? Because I'm a behind-the-scenes person. I already have inside scoop. You know, I can talk to the stars. I can talk to the cast and the crew. And I thought that would be a great idea. So I ran it past Felicia, and she liked the idea. So I'm going to start. I'm in the early, early stages. And I actually talked to another a girl named Jenny, who is another Jenny. So I'm going to have two Jennies in this podcast. So it's another girl named Jenny, and she's a PA, a production assistant on the show. And she's also Felicia's assistant, personal assistant. So her and I are going to do co-host the podcast.
That's great. So then you'll actually get a chance to have a Jenny and Kenny. I remember
Jenny and Kenny. I wanted to do it with ours, but you said no.
I said no. I'm Jen.
You're Jen, yes. So look for that. Hopefully when I get something done, I can send you guys a promo and come on your show and talk about that too.
Yes, definitely. Love to have you for that.
Yeah. But anything, I'm trying to think of other things to talk about.
Well, how do you think webisodes like the Guild will affect the future of the film industry?
I'm hoping this is the new wave of how to produce good quality, you know, shows on a lower budget. And you don't need to worry about ratings. You know, I mean, Felicia's already working on season 3. You know, I mean, the Guild's popular. And what was great is, you know, after season 1, it became a cult favorite. It was really, you know, it had like, I think, 7 million views over the 10 episodes, which is huge for a web series. And, you know, she started shopping it around to you know, studios. But studios have a way of tearing things apart and recasting and, you know, the Guild is really something close to her heart, and she wanted to keep it close to her heart. And so she was looking for the right deal. And she spent, I mean, you know, she said that she had lots and lots of offers, especially since it was so popular, season 1, for season 2. And she kept saying no. It just wasn't the right fit until MS Video came along, MSN Video. And so she struck a deal with Sprint, MSN Video, and Xbox. And it's a great deal. You know, she was able to back pay some of the people some money for their time. Because a lot of these people volunteered their time. I know I didn't get paid a penny. You know, it was all volunteer. It was all, you know, I would work 5 days a week, you know, 15-hour days at my job, and then work on the weekends 19 hours doing the Guild stuff. But getting back to your question, it's definitely the wave of the future. I mean, you look at Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along blog.
Yippee!
I just watched that DVD. It's fantastic. But yeah, I mean that was done on a very, you know, on a fairly shoestring budget, and it's became a huge hit. You know, so I mean, I think with the way things are going, I mean, most TV shows now, they air on TV and then they go right to internet online. And I don't mean BitTorrent. I mean, you know, places that NBC sends their episodes to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or CBS sends it to. Or you go to the website, like with Battlestar Galactica. You can watch episodes a week later after they air on TV, you know, on the Sci-Fi Channel website. So I just think it's more accessible. And with the way people set up, I mean, people have their computers hooked to their big screen TVs now. You know, and you have Apple TV, where you can actually view videos from your computer on your big screen TV. It's definitely changed. I mean, I think everything will be this way eventually. Will be produced for internet.
Yeah.
It's just easily accessible.
Is that good for the people who work in that industry?
Yeah, because I mean, TV will never disappear and movies will never disappear. People will always still want to go to the theater to see a movie. People will always want, you know, I think TV is just evolving. But it's just another outlet. It's just another, you know, people can produce. Anybody can grab a camera, go out, and shoot their friends doing something. And if it's just the right thing at the right moment, it'll be a hit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's what,
right.
You know, Felicia, this thing started off as a 30-minute sitcom. That's what she wrote it for. She shopped it around to networks, and they all said, no, it's too much of a niche. It's not going to work. Now they're you know, knocking down her door trying to get it, and she's saying no, I'm, you know, I'm sorry, you have the opportunity. The Big Bang Theory, which is
a show
on CBS, and it's a huge hit, and it's riddled with geekiness. I mean, there's, you know, tons and tons of inside jokes that only geeks would get, but the mainstream people love it.
Yes,
just because of the characters.
Oh, it's true.
It hit at the right time. It just. So I mean, anybody can be a star. Anybody could make a web series. You just have to be passionate about it. Find a niche that's not out there that there people want. So and that's what's great about the internet and web series.
What makes the Guild different, though, I think, is not only the niche, but the writing is good, the acting is good, the production is good.
Yes.
Everything about it. I mean, it looks very professional.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's because there are professionals who are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our cameraman, our DP, he's a professional cameraman. Our gaffer, lighting people, they're professional lighting people. We have a professional makeup artist. We, you know, and even the cast, they're actors. So it looks professional because it is done by professionals. It's just done on a very shoestring budget. You know, you can produce something of quality. You know, you don't need to spend millions of dollars to do it.
Right.
We have very few special effects. There's very few. A lot of it is the people sitting in front of their camera talking.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you said, it is, and, you know, Felicia writes all these things. So it's all Felicia who writes these incredible scripts. She knows these characters, and they're engaging, they're charismatic, and the actors pull it off. Okay.
How much is Felicia like she is like Codex?
I think there's a part of her that's like Codex. I mean, she's definitely a gamer.
She's
a hardcore. She was so hardcore that it was an addiction, and she stopped cold turkey for years and then picked it back up. And now she's slowly picking back up. But she's like you. She does everything, plays all different games, loves them all. I don't think she's as neurotic as Codex.
Does she actually play violin?
She does, and it's beautiful.
I could tell from that last episode.
Yeah, she played a little bit there, but she was practicing beforehand, which I have on camera, and hopefully I'm going to be able to create some sort of behind-the-scenes piece for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's when she is a violinist.
I really like that part of the story that she created, because I think that, especially when it comes to her and Tink, that, don't get me wrong here, but people look at you know, Zabu and even Blades and the guildmaster or the
the guild leader's work and say, yeah, those guys are definitely gamers. And yeah. Even the mom, you could say, yeah, I can see why she games. You hear about, like, housewives gaming all the time.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later because I have opinions. But anyway, but when you see Felicia, well, when you see Codex and Tink, and it's like, how did these girls get into this, you know?
Yeah.
And you almost see that she's created two believable, cute girls who mm-hmm. you think would actually game because her story about her being kind of a child prodigy, and then she mm-hmm. kind of gets enwrapped in this world of her mm-hmm. own as a kid, and then she kind of, I really like how she created that yeah. so that it's believable, because that's yeah. going back to, like, Big Bang Theory, that was one of my biggest problems with the girl next door was that they didn't write her correctly because you didn't believe that she would even talk to these guys,
right?
Even though and that's been corrected too, but that's not the point of this podcast, but and we can talk about that at a different time. But she really, from the outset, created a character that you would believe would be cute, would be quirky, would mm-hmm. actually play this game, and would do all of the things, even though they're funny, that she would react in the way that she's reacting. Like, it's all completely, especially yeah. the end, very last episode that I watched. hilarious. My gosh.
That was fun. I felt bad for Felicia. She had to put that stuff in her mouth.
Oh.
I honestly can't remember what it was. Corn and there was something else, but it was just there was a big bucket of it, and she had to do several takes. And
of course,
different camera angles, but she did so. It looked so good on camera, but yeah, it was fun.
Well, that just turned out really good, but I really enjoy everything.
I mean, right now, as of this podcast, episode 5 of season 2 has aired. So,
okay, and that's
spoilers. Spoilers if you haven't watched episode 5.
Right, yes. And it's not like it takes a long time to watch everything. I did it in the time
you don't need to get a drink.
Yeah, Kenny had to have something to drink, and we watched all the season 2.
These episodes are a little longer because the first season they were like 3 to 5 minutes, and I think these ones are like 4 to 6 mm-hmm. minutes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I like how each episode ends, first of all, how it's really a cliffhanger. It's almost comic book in
that
way.
The first episode was really cliffhanger. That was a hardcore. When they were about to kiss.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And the baby is unplugging the
internet. Oh, unplugging the internet?
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Good times with the kids.
I just feel sorry for those poor kids. Like, when it got so ridiculous, it was funny in the first season when Tink had them in the
cage.
She had them in the baby cage. Yeah.
Because how much flack they got for that?
Oh, my gosh.
We always joke about putting the baby in a baby cage. So that's why it was funny to me. Because it was funny because it was so silly.
Yeah.
Even though it's so over the top. Obviously, you would never put a baby in a baby cage.
Yeah.
But it was funny to me because it went so far that way. But I think almost like when the husband is there and he's obviously very accommodating and sweet, mm-hmm. and she's still being kind of a bitch to him. Sorry, you can edit that out. But she's still being so mean to him. It's like, oh my gosh, you're such a horrible person. But like, she's a horrible person for real. Like, the way the other characters are, they're just horrible people, but it's funny. But to me, I guess because I'm a mom too, I was like, I just can't handle that. Clara, you need to die. Somebody needs to kill you.
But the funny thing is, you know, there are people, that's what I like about this show. There are people that we know that are like that.
Oh, yeah.
Not just the mother. I mean, I don't think that you're like that at all. But I mean, all of the characters on the show, you know somebody like that, or you've met someone on, and I think that's what makes it so believable.
Right. Well, but again, I would like it to be, I like the baby cage bit because it was so silly. Like, if it would get, it would
be. So you want to go over the top.
I would be happier if it stayed over the top and there wasn't this understanding husband. Like, if the husband was like, I don't know, that was just, it's just my personal feeling about that, because I think I could take it a lot more if he was played a little more over the top too, and the kids more over the top horrible, you know, and then there's just kind of normal kids who just want to hang out with mom. And all kids, the other thing that's funny about that is kids love electronics, I have found out. That you cannot have anything in my child is almost 8 months, and he can crawl, and he crawls directly to plugs, directly to them. Anything that's plugged in, I mean, I don't know. Before electricity was invented, I don't know what kids crawled to. Because that is what he crawls to every single time. And, of course, it's Christmas. And so there's plugs all over the place that we've had to very, very, you know,
yeah.
We've had to do a lot of things to get him away from the plugs. We had to put our Christmas tree on top of a table. I mean, yeah, we went over the top. But it's like kids do claw. So that's very believable to me because that mm-hmm. kid would definitely unplug that thing. And
yeah.
you know how all the lights on computers have little – no, or all the on and off buttons have little lights so you can see them mm-hmm. in the dark? Oh, kids love that. So he's going to be able to turn on and off a computer before he can do anything else. So anyway – That was very believable to me.
Oh yeah. Well, the whole
was, like, yeah, go ahead.
The situation with Zabu too, with some guy just showing up on your doorstep because you talked to him and you were nice to him.
I think everybody fears that.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what that is Jenny's primary. I will say it right now. Jen's primary fear is that someone is going to find her on the internet and then come to her door. Am I right?
I think that's Dave's biggest fear, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Maybe it's my fear because it's Dave's fear, and he packs heat.
But see how she did that? She said that because she's afraid that somebody's
going to come. You noticed that, didn't you?
Everyone know.
Carefully crafted.
I just like making fun, but it's true. It's totally true. Oh my gosh. Anyway.
But that I think is a funny aspect of the show too. It's just this he's very Klingon, as we term guy to or any other significant other or person who clings to you. You know, you mm-hmm. can't get rid of them. And she's too nice to
That's
say.
That's her problem. Yeah. She's too nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She seems like the type who would take in a bunch of stray cats, you know?
Yeah.
Just be nice, because that's in her nature, you know, mm-hmm. to be accommodating and sweet and nice. And this guy is gross, you know.
Yeah. Even though well, he's I love football.
Sandeep is very sweet.
He is sweet, but
I mean Zabu, the character Zabu is.
Yeah,
very sweet.
There is a creep factor to it. He's sweet, and at times I feel sorry for him, and I want her to be nicer to him. But then at the same time, you're like, oh gosh, I can't believe. He's unpacking her underwear.
Why he's so messed up. And you're like, gosh, I want to help him. I understand. I would understand that, definitely.
Yes.
I feel bad for him, but at the same time, eek.
Oh, and I love the episode from last season with his mother.
Where they fight the boss. Yes. That's one of my favorite ones. That's the reason I had to make Jim watch, because I was like, you have to see this. Don't touch my healer. She's squishy. I was like, sweet. Because I'm a mage and I'm squishy. So I get it. I totally get it.
So you've become friends with the actors on this show.
Oh, yeah.
And do you think they would mind if you told us a little bit about how they are in real life and just how they got involved?
I mean, I don't hang out with them, so I don't know deep, dark secrets of them all. But...
Oh, no, that's not what we're
looking for. Felicia, very sweet. Felicia Day plays Codex. She's the main character. Sweetest person, just like Codex. I mean, in that aspect. Mm-hmm. Very sweet, very kind,
She was
generous.
Also in Horrible's sing-along blog.
Yeah, she was. She played Penny in Dr. Horrible. She was also in Buffy.
She was. Yeah. She was one of the...
one of the Chosen, or one of the...
No, what were they one called? Of the... Hold on. I feel like a horrible Buffy fan for not knowing.
Me too!
That. Oh my gosh, we're horrible people.
Sorry, I can't help you here.
Oh my gosh!
I thought it was Chosen.
It's not Chosen. It's one of the...
Google
no,
it.
No, we're going to figure this out. You one can edit the... this if you want, but okay. We're going to figure it out. One Kenny, come
the...
on.
I know. Let me think. One of the...
Seriously? Hold on. Let me get out my Slayer guide.
I cannot believe I don't know it.
When I figured this out. Hold on. All right. Where is that little?
I didn't know she was on Buffy. That's awesome.
Yeah, she's in season 7.
The potentials.
Potential.
She's a potential.
She is a potential on Buffy. That's really became where she really got popular. But she's also, mm-hmm. if you read the comic books,
like she has a very Joss way.
Yeah, her character in the comic books is now running the New York office for Buffy.
Cool.
Yeah, in the Buffy comics. So that's kind of cool that her character still lives on. But yeah, so she's very sweet, very down to earth, nicest person. You know, and what's great about her is that she's really connected to her fans. She Twitters, and she's not only part of it, but she actually responds to people. And so that's what's great about her. The other one, Sandeep, he plays Zabu.
Well, I read somewhere he was a writer. Is that correct?
Yes, he's a writer, and he's also working on a series called The Legend of Neil. And you haven't seen it? It's funny. It's a little bit R-rated. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely it's a take on The Legend of Zelda. It's another gamey. It's a web series. Mm-hmm. It's 6 episodes right now for season 1, and they just got picked up for season 2, and he's currently writing that right now. But he's another, he loves chess. We used to play chess as we're shooting. So in between takes, he'd come back, and we'd sit at a table and play a little chess. So that was fun. But he's a very nice guy. Again, very nice, very smart. And he's a writer. He's not an actor, but he does enjoy performing in front of, you know, for the guild. And they put him through some harsh stuff in season 2. So spraying himself with Pam, he was not enjoying that.
The what?
Pam.
What, he sprayed himself with Pam? Pam?
Yeah, you
is
know, the oil. That's what he sprays himself with. Yeah, to make himself greasy. He sprayed himself with Pam. So, and he had to do it over and over and and over.
Well, that, you sacrifice for your art. That's what
yes, and another thing, he had to make himself cry. So there was some sort of I don't know what it was, but they put it in his eyes to burn him.
Oh no!
Yeah, and so he had a really hard time because at the scene where he's you think I'm a starting character, and he starts in the very first episode. Mm-hmm. That's where he was crying, and so they he's been through some hard time, and then later in the episodes he has a few more things that He's a really good guy. Amy, who plays Tink, she is currently going to college. I know that much. And she's very sweet, very quiet, but, you know, very sweet. She's always there. Normally she's, like, there first thing in the morning. So when I would come in, she'd be sitting on the couch with a blanket over her watching TV at Felicia's house where we would film most of the stuff. Uh-huh. So she's very sweet, very nice. Robin, who plays Clara.
Yeah.
Very sweet. Very sweet. She's fun. She's funny. Because they always wanted to get her to scream, and she hates screaming. So it was so hard to get her to scream, you know, when she screams at her kids, when she loses the orb. But, yeah. So we, you know, kept trying to get her to scream and scream. And, but yeah, she, you know, she's the same way. Like Amy, they would come in, do their thing, and then leave. Vince, who plays Blades, he just turned 17 actually, and he's a very very nice guy. He'll come like at 9 a.m. even though he's not shooting till 6 p.m. He just comes and hangs out with the cast and crew and does card tricks. He's a magician with cards. Mm.
Yeah, I've seen that in several.
Okay, he does some. Yeah, he does it on the show once in a while, but he does some amazing card tricks. So he'll hang out with us all day just to hang out. But he's very nice, very nice. And he, you know, they're all surprised by the popularity of it. So
really,
you know, none of them expected this. And then there's Jeff Lewis, who plays Vork, and he is the funniest man on this earth. the outtakes I have of him is just they're funny. Yeah, so he does stand up. He's a comedian. He's been in commercials and been in a few TV series here and there as guest star. I think he and Felicia are mainly the two, you know, bigger actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
from the group.
I think I did recognize him. Hasn't he done a lot of like improv? You said he did improv.
Oh yeah, big time improv.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But very nice, very nice, very nice man. Funny as can be. Sandy, Felicia, and Jeff all come from the same improv group. She wrote the roles for Sandy, for Zabu, and for Vork for these guys. The other ones were cast. Amy, Ben, and Vince were all cast in their roles. Cool. But the other ones, so they're part of a troupe. So, I mean, those three together are just hilarious, and they come up with some of the funniest things. Especially when, you know, because when we do takes, they normally do one take that's written the way Felicia wrote it, and then they'll do alternate takes, and some of those alternate takes are just the funniest things. It's like, I just wish everybody could see, you know, what they do. Hopefully with these DVD extras, I'll be able to show a small portion of that. But I think that's everybody, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all six
main
players. Do you
think you'll be interviewing them on your podcast?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Cool. Yeah, that's one cool thing, that the fact that I have, you know, at least a connection with them, that I'll be able to call them up and do an interview. I'm actually going to be doing interviews with them for the DVD at the end of this month in January. Yeah, because I haven't done interviews with the main cast yet, so we're going to be doing that. Did
awesome.
That answer your question? Yeah. Yes. All the people. I feel like I'm talking and talking and talking.
No. That's why we have you on here. We want you to talk and talk and talk.
That's the whole point, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the cast is great. Great. Very down to earth. You know, they're all surprised. I mean, we went to BlizzCon in last November, whenever BlizzCon was.
Yeah. I think it was early October.
Yeah, yeah. So we went there, and I went there to film, and I mean, the fans were just fantastic, and they were all taken back. I mean, it was cool. We sold DVDs and pictures, and they had a panel, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was just fun we actually premiered the first episode of season 2 there. So fun to watch it on the big screen with fans' reactions. So
yeah. I did like the Christmas thing too. That was fun.
Oh yeah,
the Christmas carol.
That was fun. I was there for that one. Well, there's a Christmas carol. There's season 1 Christmas and then there's season 2 Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
One was the reading with the animated Santa at the end. That one, and then the other one was them singing. So it was a Christmas carol this time. It was fun. That was fun. I was there for that shoot too. That was definitely, there's only a few of us there for that, but it was fun.
Okay, so I guess if anybody wants to watch The Guild, they can go to watchtheguild.com and Xbox and
yes. What else? Well, actually Xbox plays HD, so you can download it live for free in HD. I know Zoom has it. Zoom Marketplace has it. But the main website, the main is watchtheguild.com. And they're actually slowly putting, because what they do is they premiere on MS Video first every Tuesday. Now, next Tuesday will be episode 6. Cool. And they're every Tuesday after that until episode 12. And then once they premiere there for a month, they move over to the main website, which is watchtheguild.com. That's why there's only 2 episodes there now. So every week, a new episode will be showing up there. And then probably in March sometime, they're going to be doing on YouTube. So they'll be there for YouTube. And then the DVD, that is being, right now, is tentatively scheduled for the summer. And I know they're planning some big stuff for Comic-Con in San Diego this year.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff. And I know she's writing season 3 right now.
Cool.
So, yeah. So hopefully, you know, this will go on for a little bit longer. It'll be fun.
That's really cool. Well, we're excited to watch it, and all of us nerds that play the game are very embarrassed that we get pretty much everything that's going on, especially when that orb drop happened. And I mean, it's a really big deal if you're all looking for the same drop and it doesn't happen for you. I mean, I just remember like specific times when. Because the most WoW I usually get is listening to my husband on Skype playing WoW while I'm doing other stuff. And, I mean, it's very serious, you know, exactly what drop and how that all works, you know. I mean, people get very, very serious. But, I mean, they have a pretty good system going, so I've never heard anybody get upset. But, you know, whenever somebody gets a cool drop in the guild, even when they're not playing together – They'll post it and say, oh, look at this drop I got. And I just remember that Lola, who's one of our friends who lives in Canada. Hi, Lola. If you listen to this, she got like right after Lich King came out, she got like 5 or 6 purple drops in like 2 or 3 days. And the guys were just like, every time she would post that she got a drop, they would get so upset and not upset like, you know, angry, but just like, I can't believe it. I haven't even gotten one thing and here she's getting all of these drops. And, you know, so it's pretty funny because there's a lot of competitive, you know, a lot of competitive spirit going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And Angela, just for those of us who don't know what the heck a purple drop is.
That's like the high, you know, you get your items. I mean, everybody who's played, pretty much who's listening to this has played a game uh-huh. before. A purple drop is like your highest level item. It's going to have the best, it's going to give you the best stats. It's going to give you, you know, either the best armor or the best spell power or the best, you know, crit or whatever. It's going to give mm-hmm. you all of the most important things you need for your character. And, you know, if you get like a gray drop doesn't give you anything. A white drop will give you something a little bit better, but those are low level. And then basically you can't even get a purple drop unless you're a higher level. I happen to have one purple item and I'm only a 50 something because I have a sugar daddy. But I'm married to him, so he found me a purple chess piece, which is really awesome. And it's going to be able, like, I got it when I was a 48, and I'll be able to use it till I'm like a 65 or something like that. So that's a pretty good drop. But anyway, so I'm lame. But yeah, my purple items. Anyway, so that's what that means. And we're all very silly, but it's very exciting. And I just hope that everyone, like, I hope you're right that I think people who do play online games and people who don't would still enjoy the.
Oh yeah.
Because yeah. I think you see all of the personal relationships and how all that stuff works is still funny.
Yeah. If you're a geek, yeah. If you're a geek, you know somebody like this. So you yes. know, yeah. you know. Just through association, you know these people. If it's not you yourself. So that's what I think the deal is for the guild. What's great is that, you know, it's just the fact that I'm a fan. And I keep yeah. telling everyone, you know, I mean, there are people who are working on the guild who are professionals who like the show, but they mm-hmm. aren't a geek and they're not a diehard, you know. I'm actually a fan. I'm sitting there, I get giddy when I go on set, you know, or yeah. when something happens, it's like, oh, I can't wait. And I can't say anything because this was 6 months ago when we were filming it. Mm-hmm. You know, I still every Tuesday, first thing when I wake up, I go to MSN Video to watch yeah. the episode. Even though I've seen everything, I know exactly where the story is going. But it's different when you watch it, in, you know, because we do it in bits and pieces. We shoot 4, 5, 6 of Tink scene, and then we shoot Claire's the next day, you know. So it's all done, broken in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And so it's fun when it comes all together, and it makes a cohesive story, and you're like, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, I just like the fact that I'm a fan, and just from my perspective. It's like me, if I ever was able to, you know, work on a Star Trek or a Buffy or any of those really high end geeky shows, I would just be all giddy because it's what I love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this is the same thing. It may not be a huge TV series, but this is a huge web series. And to me, it's just as important as Star Trek and Firefly. And, you know, it's still up there in my favorites of TV stuff.
And yeah. I think it's very cutting edge. And I think Felicia is a great entrepreneur also, just for having done it herself. Just because someone told her no doesn't mean that she can't see it through. So she found a way to do it. She did it, and it's successful. And I think that's a great, you know,
and that's what's
encouragement to people who want to do something like this and who are creatives but are not given the opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing with her, Kim Evie, who's a producer also. Both of them are they're the heads of the guild. I mean, Felicia and, you know, they're both women and they're smart and they know what they want. And, you know, like you said, they don't take no for an answer. You know, they found a way to do it, even if it was putting on their own credit cards for the time being.
Yeah.
They were going to produce the series because they felt passionate about it, and they want to keep it. That's why they waited so long to make a deal for sponsorship, because they wanted the right deal that was just right for them, because they want to retain as much control over their product as they can. So,
and we know what happens when someone else gets a hold of something that's good, and they don't respect it. They ruin it. And it's great that she's held on to that, because so many other people, you know, who had something good,
It's nice that she could put a good spin on a geeky gamer who happens to be a girl also.
Yeah.
You know, because there aren't many gaming girls. I mean, I know there's more now than there's ever been, but you don't hear about them as much. When you think of a gamer, they're rather large in their basement, you know, and that's all they do. But gaming isn't like that anymore. Gaming, like, you know, like Angela, she has a baby, a husband, she has a life, she's creative with the theater, she has a regular job, and she still plays WoW and enjoys it.
Yep.
You know, it's not like it's, life consuming, and that's all you do all day. You know, your baby on your hip, and no, it doesn't have to.
But it's like anything else where you can. I mean, I think that you can let anything take over your life. You know,
you can. I mean, but stereotypically, that's what you think of when you think of a gamer.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely don't think of a female. Now I do because I know several of them, but I don't think of a girl, especially a pretty girl, like you said with Tink, you know, Clara, Tink, and Felicia, Codex. They're all pretty girls.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, they're not your typical, what you would think of a geeky girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's true.
They are anomalies.
They are definitely anomalies.
I do love, though, I mean, going back to what I was saying about how she created these very believable characters, I really enjoyed, like, everyone's reaction when they first met each other.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that great?
Tink's like, as far as you know, I'm not here. And, you know, because that just sounds like something she would do, and how, you know, how Codex was very awkward about the whole thing, and how Clara actually uses her real name, and how funny everybody thought that was. And it's just, and what I also like, I don't know who does the opening title, but I like the opening title where it says who everybody is
that was nice. That was a fan who wrote Felicia and said, you know what, I can take a crack at these opening titles if you want. And he did it, and it turned out great. You know,
that's awesome. So,
it's just, I mean, people are willing to help out where they can. It's very cool.
All right. Well, we're really excited to see what comes next. And thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll talk to you again.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely. When I start cutting some of this DVD extra stuff and when I find more details out about that, I can let you guys know.
Yeah. Do you think we have a snowball's chance in Hades of talking to Felicia Day or any of the other anomalies from the guild?
You never know.
I can slowly approach everything slowly.
Yes. In their ear. That's right.
Well, we don't want to scare anyone.
We can talk about this some other time, but we think we might be going to Dragon Con this year.
Yes.
So we're excited about that. Did you tell Kenny already?
I have. Well, I posted it in the forum.
I read it on the board. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Yay. I've always wanted to go. I've never gone to Dragon Con.
You should go.
That's the one in Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I have Comic-Con, so Comic-Con is my big comic, you know.
Well, we were told the other day by Lachiades, who is one of our friends. That's his WoW name. And he decided that we were going. he was at New Year's with us, and he was like, oh, by the way, you and Jen are going to Dragon Con. And I was like, we are? Yes. Okay, I guess we are then. And one of our friends works for a chainmail vendor.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie, who's been on the show before, works for a guy who makes chainmail, and she also makes scale mail. And so she's going to be there in her full, you know, scale mail costume, you know, planner wares or whatever.
Nice.
So they're there, and they have a booth. As she's going to be a vendor there. And so we thought, well, you know, if they're all going, we might as well go.
Oh, I think you were a little more excited.
I think it was just one of those things where I hadn't really thought about it, you know.
You guys should try and do a podcast from there.
Oh, well, that's the whole idea. I think we're going to try to get in as media.
Uh-huh. Oh, you definitely get in as media.
Yeah.
So that would be something cool. Maybe we can, like, ask questions. I'm getting more and more excited about it.
We'll be asking questions in costume.
Oh, yeah, dude. And I'll be real serious.
In your WoW costume.
I'll be in my WoW costume going, and so what were you thinking when you... Okay, well, my time is up for the time being. So I hope that... I'm so glad you came and talked to us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And as soon as you get your podcast up, you know, we'd love to play promos for you.
Oh,
and
definitely.
Interview again and help you get it going. Well, not that you need any help getting anything going, because you obviously...
On to the rest of the show, then.
Alrighty. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kenny.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So how do we usually wrap these things up?
How do we usually wrap? We know how we do it. Have you listened to one of our podcasts lately?
Okay. Yes, I do.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, wait a minute. We have to talk about stuff first and then wrap it up.
Okay, stuff.
Okay.
Next time on the Anomaly Podcast, we will be having a very special anniversary episode. 1 year ago this month, we celebrated our introduction to iTunes. And about 2 years ago this month, we celebrate our actual birth of the podcast. So we are very, very excited and want to share that all with you.
Yeah, so if you could please, please, please send us email and maybe audio comments about how much you adore this podcast
and how much you like all of us so much. Maybe talk about your favorite guest host that we've had.
Maybe your favorite episode.
Maybe favorite episode.
Funniest introduction.
Maybe we'll answer a couple of random questions. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. We don't guarantee an answer to all questions. But hey, we'll field some random questions
for you. I think what I'll probably do is edit together the funniest moments of all of our shows. And maybe we'll do little commentaries.
Okay. And maybe some outtakes.
Yes.
We may have some X-rated outtakes because there's some pretty funny ones.
Maybe some shows you've never heard. Little clips from those.
Okay. Like, the famous Will Wilson episode.
That was a disaster.
I think I was half asleep when we recorded that.
I know. Either that or we had had a glass or two of vino.
That wouldn't worry me. That wouldn't affect
Probably
me.
Probably not.
Makes me better.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Okay.
All right. Well, that concludes this edition of the Anomaly Podcast. We would like to thank our guest,
Kenny.
Thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing all your secrets about the guild. We're so excited to have you on, and we hope we can do that again.
Yes, we do. That is a very good it's so funny. I could go on, but anyway, so you can visit us on our website at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. Or you can email us directly
from that website. We have a contact page there. Or you can email us at girlygeekswithaz@gmail.com.
And that's it.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela. And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
So you come home after a rough day at the office, have a drink, torrent the latest movie, make a sandwich, buy a human off eBay, listen to your favorite podcast, and not leave them any feedback. I know what you're thinking. Perfect night, right? Wrong. Go to iTunes and leave them some feedback. And that's something to think about.
Your feedback encourages us to continue producing Anomaly. Please consider writing about us in a forum, on a blog, and leave us a rating on iTunes, hopefully a positive one. Drop us a line at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. Or via our contact page at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. And leave a comment on our latest episodes, or just say hi. And if you're an anomaly or a fellow female fangirl, let us know we're not alone in the world. Anomaly is released on a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 license, which means you have to have our permission to change it or incorporate it into another work. All rights reserved.